Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, and you rolling with us on a wild card game day here in the great city of Houston is the Houston Texans. Did you see the people send them off at NRG Stadium yesterday?
I did, yeah.
Send them off to Pittsburgh, including the buses, all three of them rolling and leaving. One mascot Hall of Famer, Toro, holding his bags. Did you see that?
Yeah.
This team, man, they've gotten really good at the social media aspects of
this. I feel like
this.
We forgot something.
Toro.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing that maybe he and Davis Mills linked up and they flew together to get to Pittsburgh.
Probably not.
You don't think so?
Yeah. I don't think Toro's on the list.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah. But, yeah.
He's not welcome in other stadiums.
You don't think so?
Oh, God, no. How many times have you seen a opposing team's mascot?
They should let him in. He should sneak in. He should get a ticket and just be in the stands. You know what I mean?
Yeah. By the way, it's not. It's only ramping up by the minute, isn't it? I'm getting more.
You're getting more antsy.
Yeah.
How are we feeling out there?
I got kind of, obviously we came into the show. We were all talking about how it kind of hits you and you get more excited. And now I'm like, all right.
I think I'm pretty calm, man.
It's 12:03.
Yeah, oh, but the day has moved pretty quickly towards it. I'm excited about that because I just want to watch this football already. Mm-hmm. But I'm not antsy. I'm pretty mellow.
Really?
About this. Yeah, yeah. This game does not give me trepidation.
But you didn't live in Houston for a while, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I just got a pit in my stomach for some
reason.
You
do?
Yeah.
Yeah, where I'm just like a nervous pit.
But it can be good energy.
It can be good, too.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for the game. Like, once the game start, then you can kind of relax a little bit.
And I just realized, like, they're all important. Playoff games, you know, legacy games and all that stuff, whether you're a coach or a player or whatever, especially a quarterback. But we all, like, this is important, just the way it's lining up, you know, not just the way the Texans have played, especially defensively, but it's the Steelers.
It's wide open, man. Or at least in the AFC, it's wide open.
That's another part of it. It's wide open.
Things are laying out the way that you would hope, I imagine.
Can you imagine? I'm going to channel John. Could you imagine?
Not bad. Not bad. That's a solid 8.
Could you imagine if the Texans beat the Steelers? Exercise all those demons, you know, from way back when, and it's the Steelers, and then you already know what the next opponent's going to be.
Yeah. And on the text line, we got a Patriots fan being like, "Nah, y'all got it." Like, if the Texans face off against the Patriots and go there, there's at least one Patriots fan that is convinced that it is the Texans win.
No, I think he's talking about the Steelers game. Y'all got it.
No, I.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're saying, like, if you get past this one, the Patriots do not stand a chance.
And looking
that is for us to talk about later.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, looking at the Patriots last night, I feel more confident about that game than I do this game.
Their defense did look pretty good. Their defense did look pretty good. But, like, again, let's just lay it out. Steelers tonight, exercising demons, different franchise, different time. I get it, but it matters in this city. Then you go to the Patriots.
I think it matters to certain portions of the city. I'm not trying to, ignore them. I think that would be cool.
It's part of our legacy. It's part of our heartbreak.
Yes, I think that'd be nice as a little cherry on top. And that could be a cleanser of sorts, right?
Yeah,
we talk about these vibes that you're feeling and, you know, the anxieties. And let me know, 713-572-4610, what you're doing for that.
Playoff heartbreak.
Yeah, but that's for the future. And
then potentially Buffalo.
Right, that could be really fun to go through those. But I really could want to feel that for the people in Houston that football-wise have had just a dark cloud hanging over them, and there's not been anything to do with it. It's just kind of sat there.
Mm-hmm.
Can this be something that clears out the cobwebs on that? That'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's one of the biggest questions to answer that could be answered tonight.
I got questions.
All right, let's do them.
I got questions for you, too. Let's go through them. And because I think it's sort of good to sort of preview the game as well. Who has the edge in a one-possession game? It's a one-possession game.
Ooh.
Who has the edge? They can both make a pretty strong argument. Pittsburgh, obviously.
No, yeah, for sure. I'm going to say as of recent, I'm going to give the edge to the Houston Texans.
How come?
Because the Steelers, they had a one-point, or they had a, I want to say, you mean up a point? Or
just a one-possession game.
One-possession game.
Yeah.
You're going back to the de facto AFC North Championship game, mm-hmm. Week 18?
I'm going to that. I'm going to the Browns game before that
mm-hmm.
because they were down. They needed a touchdown, and mm-hmm. they couldn't get that. So I feel like the Houston Texans have the wait for this, Reggie, the momentum. I think they have a little more momentum.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. So I think they got the edge on that.
What do you think?
I think I lean towards, I think you make a good point that we've seen the Steelers team recently against lesser caliber teams, although the Browns would be an interesting kind of, you know, comparison because mm-hmm. that is a really, really good defense with great pass rush that the Steelers have not been able to get things done. And as much as the Texans offense has been frustrating, they have found ways to finish mm-hmm. of late. Has it been pretty? No.
Yeah.
But that's not the question here. I think that there's a level of get it done that exists in a better way on the Texas side. Plus, especially with the addition of seeing Jaden Higgins get a little bit of love, seeing Dalton Schultz be a viable weapon that you can go to. Clearly, Nico Collins is the obvious one that I did not mention there, but he's obviously number one in your mind. And then what are the chances that they might even sneak in Jalen Noel in there at times to add a different flair, especially in an instance where the other team is not thinking about that guy because you've not utilized him a lot. So maybe that is a little bit of a little joker that you throw out there that they're not expecting. I think that you have more of those than the Steelers do just leaning on the Aaron Rodgers and his accuracy in his arm.
Well, and hop in on Twitch and YouTube with your comments and 713-572-4610. That's one question. And I wish maybe that explains kind of the pit in my stomach, the uncertainty, because I don't know. The Steelers can make a strong argument. Monday night at home in Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, they've got DK Metcalf coming back. But the Texans can make a hell of a good argument. You know, the best defense in the league, turnovers, maybe the best kicker in the league at this moment. So, to me, that's something of a, well, I guess we'll find out.
I didn't even add the kicker to this. Yeah, Chris Boswell has been a little dicey kicking the football. He's had some misses. Hell, he had misses in Week 18 that made that game unnecessarily interesting, even though it took a Tyler Lue miss on the field, which actually we should talk about that portion of it.
Yeah.
The field, that's not a pretty field turf there at Acrisure Stadium.
It's part of what, weighs into the whole kicking discussion. I got another question for you. I got a few more actually. So the game changer, the wide receiving game changer. Who has the edge?
The wide receiving game changer?
Yeah. Who has the edge? Nico Collins or DK Metcalf?
I'm biased. I'm going to say Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a level of, I also have a belief in one. He's shown the capability of being the 50-50 ball guy an additional level this year. I think that they have had such a beautiful connection on in-breakers and crossers, minus maybe a couple of drops early on in the season. And the additional part of this, which again, I'll come back to, the thing that I would love to see is Higgins going off. He's done such a great job of bending defenses, and they're starting to get a lot better at using him to help bend defenses and create openings for others. And I wonder how much that goes with DK Metcalf, although he ends up being of great importance to what they do. The other guys that they have alongside him, I feel like, aren't going to be as much of playmakers or shouldn't be as much of playmakers even with him on the field.
Yeah, I agree with Reggie. I'm going to say, Nico Collins.
I mean, that is a seventh in votes of all pro wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I would trust Nico. Although
I do think DK Metcalf.
6'4", 230 or whatever he is.
DK Metcalf being back, that's a big, that's going to be a big difference, man. Yeah.
It will be.
I wouldn't look at the last couple Steelers games as like, oh, that's what they are.
Yeah.
You got DK Metcalf back, man. That's going to make a big difference for him.
Big, fast dude. All right. Which run game controls the game?
I think it's the Steelers. I would love to tell you the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the Steelers, especially because those guys also do a great job out of the backfield. I think they have all of these concerns that they create, and that offensive line is pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? I think that we haven't talked a lot about that portion of it. And also, it's one of the reasons why I'm not sold on the, oh, here's going to be five sacks from the Texans defense. Those edges, those tackles are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, I think the pressure will still be there, and I think that that's the real operative portion of this.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the run game, the only thing that gives me a little pause on the Steelers is they like outside zone. They like doing those things, and reaching the edges is going to be tough when you have the likes of Daniil and Will working those edges. Plus, the linebackers are really good at fire triggering and getting there.
Yeah.
I love to see the likes of EJ Speed, the likes of obviously Henry Toto, and then you add in the de facto linebacker of Jalen Petrie, and then your cornerbacks aren't afraid to come up and lay hits. Getting out to the edges are not going to be the easiest thing for running backs on this team. So, but I do think that this run, they have two of them that operate in that way. And I think that you're more leaning on just Woody Marks and what you're capable of doing, plus the idea of, is this offensive line going to get the right push versus the three-man interior of a 3-4 defense,
Biggie?
Or 3-5 defense, rather.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Steelers probably had the advantage with the run game. And like Reggie said, they got two running backs that they rely on heavily. So I'm going to roll with that.
I think the Steelers' run game is good. My thing that gives the Steelers the edge here, we don't even know what Nick Chubb's going to do.
We
have no idea. And Juwan Jordan's out. Who would have thought we'd be like missing Juwan Jordan at the beginning of the year? But right now it's Woody Marks. You know?
Yeah.
it's Woody Marks.
Yeah.
All right. Which coach has the edge managing this game?
Ugh. That's rough.
Could come down to it.
They've both had their issues.
We've talked
about
it all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've both had their issues.
Can I say Aaron Rodgers? or at least on the offensive side.
You might. Yeah. You might. I don't. This. Can I call it a wash? Can I call it a push?
Yeah.
I think that might be some of this year. I think we've made it very clear. I'm not very confident in the ways or the. Yeah, the ways that they've decided to go about game management at times, and especially not confident in consistency within it.
Yeah.
I think that they go all sorts of different ways, and that's part of why you've heard the noise get loud on Mike Tomlin is the management of games as well. I don't know that there's either of these teams looks great, but I think also you can spin that forward as a positive in that you're not giving up a clear advantage to the other side in that way. But yeah, that's always been an annoyance because though there's instances where did you lose points because you operated in a certain way at the end of the half? Did you lose an opportunity because you weren't the right amount of aggressive in certain instances? All of these things, or you didn't use your timeouts properly. Mm-hmm. All those things, I don't think that would lose you this game, but once we go on in the playoffs, I think that's conversations that we have to have.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's Pittsburgh on this one, man, because you got Mike Tomlin. You can feel how you want to feel about Mike Tomlin. But also, you got Aaron Rodgers running the offense.
Yeah,
man.
I think that's the deciding factor.
Yeah, I know I was joking around saying, can I say Aaron Rodgers? But I think that's a big part of it, man.
No, I think that is the slight edge. And really, home field might be a factor.
Yeah.
The Texans haven't really had a bad bout with false starts or getting to the line, getting out of the huddle and all that.
Got to remember, how was the KC game? Because that's really that's the last game that you had in real adverse territory.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you had an illegal shift in that game, but I don't know that I'd look at that as being kind of environment-based.
Mm-hmm.
There was a face mask, but that's not something I would point to. There were some false starts that happened in there, so maybe that's something that you could have some concerns about. But it's not like the last time that you were in an adverse environment, you crumbled under pressure.
Sure.
But you have to make sure that doesn't come out of nowhere, because it felt like over the last couple of years with this team, you feel like you've knocked down that whack-a-mole and then it pops back up out of nowhere.
Which quarterback has the faces the biggest challenge? Now, let me.
Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers.
You think it's Aaron
Rodgers? Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
The style of play that they typically play is one that does not go well against what is going to be the best unit in all of this game, that defense. And one of the things that we've talked about, and you're going to need to take shots. You've heard Mike Tomlin himself say it in his availability. They're going to need their shots. That's not an easy thing to do, both with the pressure that is going to come from this front line and then the fantastic coverage that happens on the back end. There's been a number of times where the pressures or the sacks on the front line have been actually coverage generated. And so that's a rough shot for Aaron Rodgers, who is going to have to change his whole MO of the season of not wanting to get hit just to make some of that happen.
Yeah, I think it's Aaron Rodgers, too. I think C.J. Stroud, as crazy as it sounds, as much as I want him to take over, I don't think this game, I don't think they are relying on C.J. Stroud to carry the team on his shoulders to win. I think they can win with C.J. making the right plays. But Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to have to carry this team.
I'm with you. I think with you both, I think Aaron Rodgers faces the biggest challenge, but it's not without challenges for C.J. Stroud.
No.
Including, self-imposed challenges offensively and what they want him to do and expect him to do, and being on the road again and, good defense. They're not facing a bunch of schmucks on their edge rushers either.
Pursuant to that, this is a Steelers defense that has created some turnovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think comes out in the turnover battle?
Oh, I love the Texans in that.
You do?
I just because of what they've been doing all season long, and I think that's part of the biggest challenge with Aaron Rodgers. All right, one more. Who wins the red zone?
I'm going to say the Steelers.
If they get there, my mind goes Steelers. I realize actually that I have not done much looking at how they actually handle the red zone, how good they are in the red zone. But just anecdotally, knowing that they run the ball decently, that they have the opportunity to pass the ball out of the backfield, mm-hmm. and that Aaron Rodgers has been pretty pinpoint accurate. I would think that, although also they liked using the likes of like Darnell Washington, yep. and I wonder yep. how those tight ends come in. Now, DK they're not going to be able to
go talk about big dudes.
Yeah, they're not going to go to 13 personnel, but they might go to 12 a decent amount, putting Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth out there, and that creates some interesting things. In fact, I go back to the Cardinals game where they used some big personnel in order to get Damone Clark out there versus Trey McBride. You remember where you're like, well, who the hell is this guarding Trey McBride? Yeah. Because they got linebackers out there because they had big personnel.
Right.
Those are the things that I think are available to the Steelers that might make them more viable in the red zone.
Yeah, I would say Steelers as well. Mm. All right.
So those are the questions that you have that might need to be answered.
They need to be answered. They will be answered.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. Somebody said from the 8-2, I think Nick Chubb is going to have a big game against Pittsburgh. That would be great.
That would be a true difference maker.
Yeah. And it would kind of be coming out of left field because Nick Chubb has faded into the periphery. Not to say that he is not, when he's in there, he's not doing what you expect
of
him.
And his career kind of derailed from playing Pittsburgh. That's where he suffered his big injury.
That is a great point. So, yeah, he's got motivation, if nothing else.
Yeah, I hope so.
What if this ends up being the Nick Chubb game?
Oh, that would be the difference.
Would that surprise you?
Yes, it would.
It would open it.
Mm-hmm. I would be open to welcoming it. That'd be fantastic. And yeah, Nick, you could very much view it as Nick Chubb is due a game. So yeah, let's do it. Why not? I'd appreciate that quite a bit. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a wild card game day Monday. Coming up next, let's get our wild card game day lunchtime confessions next.